Title of our lesson is called Partakers of the Heavenly Calling. And we'll ask you to turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 3. But the book of Hebrews chapter 3, we'll begin reading at verse 1 down through verse 6. Hebrews chapter 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. And may we never stop remembering that it's about Jesus Christ, and he is our foundation, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and your mercy and your patience. Lord, we ask now that you would have your hand upon those of our number who are dealing with the COVID virus firsthand. Be with family members, Lord, as they deal with them. Lord, we just pray that your hand would be upon those of our number who have things in their lives that are dealing with, with which they're dealing. And Lord, we just ask now that your will would be done. Bless those watching tonight, Lord. May they be encouraged to remain strong in the faith. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Holy brethren, those that know Jesus Christ as their Savior, partakers of the heavenly calling. What an interesting thought that we that know Christ have a calling, just as Jesus Christ had a calling. He was sent forth. He was the one that was sent forth to die for you and for me. But consider the apostle. Notice it's capitalized there as it refers to Christ. The high priest of our profession. The one sent forth. The one we love. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 declares that he is the author and finisher of our faith. The author and finisher, he is the one that has begun it, and he is the one that has concluded all that is necessary. Quickly, if you would, the book of Isaiah chapter 28, Isaiah chapter 28, and may I encourage you to turn to this one verse if there's none of the others that you wish to turn to. Turn to this one in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. We'll be talking tonight about the foundation upon which our faith is built and how it's important that we are on a firm, strong, secure foundation. Many today in this world are building their lives on weak and shaky foundations, and they are struggling, and how sad that is. But the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. We need to make sure that our faith is based on something that is secure, that it is something in which we have surety of, something that, as the Bible says, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Jesus said that the church was built upon him, and the gates of hell will not prevail. It is a sure foundation. Quickly now from Isaiah in the Old Testament to the end of the New Testament, the book of Jude. The book of Jude, chapter 1 and verse 20. May I say, it does absolutely no good to have a yard full of building materials if we're not going to use them. The other day, my wife and I were looking through a magazine, and we came across what she called was a she shed. I thought it was a shed that was for gardening tools. And she was saying, why don't you build me a shed in the backyard? And I thought, oh, no. But you know, it'd do me no good to order all the material, have it delivered into the backyard, and just leave it sitting there, and then constantly saying, well, when I get around to it. The fact of the matter is this. We need to build on a solid foundation, and people need to know that our spiritual home is on something solid. But the book of Jude, chapter 1 and verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, we need to be growing in our spiritual walk. We're not to remain babies of the faith. We need to be able to be mature enough to eat strong meat, as the Bible calls it. We need to be strong when things come against us that are disturbing, that are scary, frustrating. We need to realize that our faith needs to grow. And we need to build that faith on Jesus Christ. Would you please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. As soon as I give that scripture reference, the majority of you know the verse of which we're going to be reading. We're going to find that the word of truth is important. We live in a society that is full of half-truths. And we are seeing society change history to fit today's beliefs, and how sad that is. But Second Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. See, as we build on the foundation that Jesus Christ has laid, we need to be active. We're to be workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever had somebody's chocolate chip cookies where they forgot to put in most of the chocolate chips? Isn't that a sad thing? Because if you're going to have chocolate chip cookies, one thing you need are chocolate chips. You need that main ingredient. But then, of course, what if someone puts in chocolate chips but forgets to put in the sugar? Then you say, well, why bother? See, you need to make sure that that chocolate chip cookie is worthy of eating. I've often said there are two types of cookies in our world. There are chocolate chips and all the rest. And so we need to make sure that in our spiritual walk that we are worthy to be called followers of Christ. You know, they first called them Christians in Antioch, not as a term of endurance, but in mockery. Christ had died, and these were people that were living their lives like there's someone who had died, who had been crucified. See, we need to make sure that if we are being called Christians, our lifestyle is right and proper and godly, not to be ashamed. The word of truth. We need to be honest and above board. Yes, the evolutionists can lie. The abortionists can lie. We find that many in today's world are lying about their lifestyles. But the fact of the matter is this, the word of God is truth, and we need to follow it closely. If you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll look at verses 10 and 11. Verses 10 and 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. And it says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, that being Paul, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. When we build a foundation that our children can build upon, it's necessary that we're on a solid foundation and that what we're laying down is solid. And that our children can then build upon that and our grandchildren upon that. As we lay our foundation, as we build upon that foundation of Jesus Christ, we need to remember just what that is. And we're going to look at some thoughts about who Jesus Christ is and how we can build upon his solid foundation. If you would, John chapter 3, verse 16. And we won't be just reading verse 16, we'll be going all the way to verse 21. But this is Jesus Christ, and this is why he came. There was a plan and a purpose for his coming. And as we begin reading at verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But notice verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He didn't come to condemn an already condemned world. Sin did that. He came to save souls. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Jesus Christ's foundational work is this, that he is the Savior of those who will come to him. He said, for I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is the true foundation upon which we have built our faith, that Jesus Christ is the way. As we continue reading verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. Notice that light has come into the world. And men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Building on the right foundation is important. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19. The foundation upon which we build is that foundation which our Lord has laid. And we find in Matthew chapter 19, beginning at verse 3, this thought. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put his wife put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, now Jesus Christ is going to quote Old Testament scripture. Jesus Christ believed in the word of God and he used it in his defense. And it continues in verse 4, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? He that made them, Jesus Christ, is declaring that man and woman were made by a creator God. And he says they were made male and female, not to be confused. Verse 5, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. that therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. They said unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. See, folks, we need to have our marriages based on a solid foundation. Marriage of a man and a woman is God's decree, and it must be so because he said so. And so we need a solid foundation in our marriages. Would you take your Bibles to the next book of the Bible, Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. We need to have a solid foundation when it comes to our financial concerns, knowing that God is in control and he has the right to declare that money as necessary is just simply part of life, but not life itself. And it says in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? A solid foundation when we put our trust and faith in the Lord. What type of foundation is your family built upon? What type of foundation is your spiritual house in today? Is it secure? When the storms of life come, will it remain strong? Jesus gave the parable of the two houses, the one built on sand and the one built on a rock. And when the storms of life came, that which was built on the sand crumbled, but that which was built upon the rock endured. And we need to make sure that we endure for the cause of Christ. And to do so, we must be built on a solid foundation. John chapter 8, if you would, please. John chapter 8. Can I say this? God has a place for intimacy. And that intimacy is between one man and one woman, and one woman and one man. In the marriage. And when we take it out of the marriage, we have issues. And our society is showing that fornication and adultery is destroying our society. John chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, now can you imagine this situation where a woman is brought into the temple being disgraced and brought before Jesus, and notice what they said, verse 4, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Hopefully, they allowed her to put a blanket on. In verse 5 says, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? Verse 6. This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. And when they had continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Now, in your mind's eye, you can see the situation. We don't know how many men brought her, but here she is in front of Jesus. The accusations are flying back and forth from these men to Jesus, and he is just almost ignoring them. And he begins to write something on the ground, and there's great speculation as to what he wrote. Was he writing down each of their names and then a sin beside their name? We don't know. But notice what it says in verse 8. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they that heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. Notice, it doesn't end there, does it? We're going to find that Jesus has one more statement to be made. A statement is made to all of us. She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. The foundation of purity, of a solid morality, is very important. And Jesus had things upon which we were to build a solid foundation on marriage, on morality, on money. Getting these three things right is very important in our spiritual walk. And thus we need to remember that Jesus is our foundation, and we can look to his very words and feel secure in knowing what is right for our lives. Would you please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Now, as we are watching tonight, I do hope that you realize that we need, in our own minds, to determine that we are going to build on the right foundation and how important it is that we do that. But let's begin reading in chapter 3 and verse 19. And to know the love of Christ. Is that important, ladies and gentlemen, and children of all ages that are watching tonight? To know the love of Christ. How many people today are in search of love? I was reading an article today about how many homeless people there are in America and how sad it is that they are homeless. And so many people that are looking for love. But can I say this? There are people that are in McMansions that are searching for love. There are people who are living in the largest of homes in America who are searching for love. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. I've said this before, we won't truly know what love is until we stand before Christ. And then we will know what love is really all about. That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You ever go to a buffet? And one of the things you can be sure of, if I'm going to the buffet, is that I'm not going to fill up on vegetables. Now, there are at buffets some pretty disgusting things. Brussels sprouts, lima beans, pea salad, you know, they're there, but are you really going to fill up on that stuff? Man, you're going to fill up on the good stuff. Man, the pot roast, steak, if they're cooking them at that time that you go there. You want to be full of the good stuff, and then maybe there might be some chocolate pie. But what are you filling up in your spiritual life? That's what's important. Too many born-again believers are anemic. They don't study the Word of God. They're not involved the way they should be. And because of that, they're anemic. And when the hard times of life come, they get disappointed and frustrated and angry. And I've been there, folks, so I'm not just preaching at you. I'm preaching to me. And sometimes it's because we just simply are not full of God. We've tried to put other things into that space that only he is qualified to fill. He's the only one. So let me read again verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. According to the power that now worketh in us. You know, when Jesus Christ gave his final command before going into heaven, he said that all power was given unto him, and that he would be with us until the end of the age. Can I say this? Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on him. Ask him to have his hand of blessing upon you. Ask him for his protection, his peace of mind, his comfort. Build upon that which is solid, upon Jesus Christ, a solid foundation. How's your spiritual building today? Is it strong? Does it need some repairs? It's good to know that if it needs some repairs, we know the master craftsman, that Jesus Christ is able to do the repairs. Shall we close in a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to meet, though maybe not the way we had planned to a while back, but Lord, we're glad that we can meet this way. Lord, be with those of our number who are dealing with the coronavirus issues in a very practical way right now because of the fact that they are infected. But Lord, give strength, give encouragement. Be with those who are under doctor's care, that, Lord, you would bless. Lord, again, we pray for those of our number who are dealing with issues in their own lives. And, Lord, I just pray that you'd have your hand upon the Covenant Baptist Church, upon its membership, upon those who call this their church. Help us, Lord, to remain faithful until you call us home. Help us, Lord, to continue to build upon you, that rock of which we know is strong and secure. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving. Amen.